Adihi om Sahana Vavatu Sahano Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so we've had Kichika then notice Draupadi and he's showed his interest. Draupadi, you know, told him that she's already married and he should desist from his interest or it will not be good for his health. And but then Kichika, his sister Sudeshna is the queen, so then he tries to get her to make some arrangements, and so the queen, okay, thinks, why not? A few days later, the queen called for Draupadi and said, Sairindri, today is a festival and I am thirsty. My brother has some excellent wines prepared. Please go there and fetch some for me. Draupadi answered in alarm, my lady, I shall not go to that wicked man's house. You have seen for yourself how shamelessly he approached me. Most beautiful one, I asked when I came here that I be kept safe from other men. If you send me to Kichika, he will dishonor me. Please send one of your other maids. You need have no fear, Sudeshna replied dismissively. You are being sent from the royal palace. My brother will not dare to insult you. Means you're going from the royal palace, so she means she's a royal maid, so then she won't he'll be considered that. The queen gave Draupadi a golden pot and waved her away. Fearful and crying, Draupadi left for Kichika's palace. As she walked, she prayed, as I am always faithful to my husband's, by the strength of that virtue may I be protected from Kichika. Draupadi looked up at the sun and asked the sun god for his protection. Surya, out of compassion, ordered a mighty Rakshasa to invisibly protect her. And from that time on, he never left under any circumstances. When Draupadi entered, Kichika stood up in joy. With folded palms, he said, oh, fair one of beautiful tresses, you are welcome. Somehow I have managed to survive the last few days since seeing you. Now you shall become the mistress of my house. Let golden chains and brilliant ornaments of every description be brought for your pleasure. Gems, jewels, silken garments await you in abundance. I have prepared for you a fine bed. Come drink with me the honeyed wine. Without looking at him, Draupadi replied coldly, Sudeshna has sent me to fetch wine. Please fill this pot and let me leave quickly, for she is thirsty. Let others take the queen her wine, Kichika said, moving towards Draupadi. You should remain here with me. Kichika took Draupadi by the arm. Crying out of fear, she said tearfully, so I have never acted unfaithfully towards my husband's, even in my mind or heart. I shall, by virtue of that truth, see you hurled down and punished for this sin. Right? Because he shouldn't have touched her. He may have talked all he likes, which is not good, but he should never have touched her. Draupadi struggled free from Kichika, and he ran after her, grabbing hold of her upper garment as it trailed behind her. Trembling in wrath, she spun around, pushed him with all her strength. Caught by surprise, he fell to the ground like a tree cut at its root. Yeah, because one is she has power because of her being a Kshatriya, you know, it's not that they're not powerful. And at the same time is because of her chastity, there's also the power. Draupadi rushed into the royal court to seek the king's protection. Kichika pursued her and caught her right arm in front of the king. Right, so now this is getting completely out of hand. Because in the court in front of the king, then you don't display bad behavior, you behave properly. Pulling her back forcefully, Kichika kicked Draupadi, and she fell to the mosaic floor. Right? So how could you behave badly with a lady right in the court? And this is the lady that he wants to have as his queen, or his consort, and he behaves like this. You know, there's something wrong with these kind of people's mentality. The invisible Rakshasa, appointed the sun god, then struck Kichika a blow with the force of the wind, and he fell prostrate. Bhima happened to be present in the court, along with Yudhishthir. Then he glared at Kichika. The unforgiving Pandava gnashed his teeth and clenched his fists, ready to leap up at once and kill Kichika. His eyes became dark and smoky, and terrible wrinkles appeared on his forehead, along with beads of sweat. Right, so we know before when he gets really angry, that's those wrinkles get there, you know, when he's going to. Bhima rubbed his forehead with his huge hand, fighting his desire to hurl himself at Draupadi's offender. Right, because unless the king says something, unless he just says that I can't tolerate women being, you know, dealt with improperly or something. But it would be a whole big thing. Yudhishthira reached over and pressed Bhima's arm. Oh, cook, you best go about your business, he said in a low voice. You are surely needed in the kitchen. Restrained by his elder brother, Bhima rose up slowly and left the court with his eyes fixed on Kichika, who was picking himself up from the floor, looking around in amazement to see who had struck him. Draupadi, seeing her husbands maintaining their disguises before the king, stood before Virat with flashing eyes. This son of Asuta has kicked me, the honored wife of those whose enemies can never sleep, even if they reside in heaven. The Suta's son has kicked me, the respected consort of those who are truthful, devoted to Brahmins, and ever accustomed to giving charity. He has kicked me, the beloved wife of those who are endowed with energy, power, and self-control, and who, if they were not tied down by duty, could destroy the whole of this world. Alas, where today do those warriors roam? How can they, like eunuchs, suffer their spouse to be so insulted? Where is their wrath, prowess, and energy when they cannot protect their own wife from a wretch? Right? So what she's saying is true, but at the same time is we know that there's, you know, basically like, you know, three and a half weeks left. And so if they can get through that, then it will be there. So Yudhishthira and they're looking at this bigger picture because they can get through. So he'll figure something out. But it won't necessarily have that prowess and everything that Kshatriyas are used to doing, because none of them are playing the role of a Kshatriya. As he spoke, Draupadi glanced toward Yudhishthira, who was squirming in pain. Turning her gaze on Virat, she went on, "What can I do? I am in the city, and he who defiles virtue has coolly allowed me to be insulted before his eyes," meaning the king. "Why does the king not act like a king towards Kichika? O best of men, how do you tolerate this outrage?" Right? Because it's right in the court. You can't, means you never deal badly with a woman, especially in a formal situation like in front of the king in the court. So that means Kichika has to be so proud of himself. And at the same time, you have the king, who, there must be something about Kichika, maybe because he's the brother-in-law or something, that he's not saying anything. "Let all the courtiers mark your failure today. Where is the virtue in either Kichika or Virat, or even in the silent courtiers who have witnessed Kichika's despicable behavior?" Right. So at this point, the only one to have done something practical is the Rakshasa. Draupadi was sobbing. Virat replied, "I do not know the full details of your quarrel with Kichika. Without knowing everything, how can I pass judgment?" Right. Which is true on that, but at the same time is, in court, it's formal. You don't behave like this. That's all. The king looked at his brother-in-law, who was smiling. The aged of Virat depended on Kichika to defend his city. The king could not say anything to offend him, but the Brahmin courtiers were now praising Draupadi and reproaching Kichika. "This gentle lady is like a goddess in our midst," they said. "Surely the man who has her for a wife wants for nothing. By insulting her, Kichika has performed a sinful deed," right? Because she makes the point that her husband, she said it many times. Possibly meant, I'm not sure if she said it. "Kick me. His honor is the wife they reside. So kick me. Repeated. Never custom. Kick me. The beloved wife, those are title." Yeah, no, just who said. Okay. Yudhishthira sat burning with anger. Drops of perspiration ran down his face. In a taut voice, he said to Draupadi, "O Sairindri, return to Sadeshana's apartments. The wives of Hero endure pain on behalf of their husbands, but in the end they attain those blessed regions where their husbands go. I think your Gandharva husbands do not feel that the moment is right for a display of their power. You should not remain here and cause a disturbance. Be confident that your husbands will assuage your sorrow in due course." Draupadi, who had fallen weeping to the floor, composed herself and stood up to leave. "I practice piety for the sake of my kind and forgiving husbands. They of whom the eldest is addicted to dice are ever oppressed by others. Watched by the mystified king, she went out of the court with her head lowered and returned to the queen's chambers. When Sudeshna saw her tearful face, she asked, "O beautiful one, who has slighted you? Why do you weep, O gentle one, whose happiness will come to an end today?" Bowing before the queen, Draupadi replied, "As I went to fetch your wine, Kichika struck me in the court, in the king's presence." "What? Then I shall have him chastised," Sudeshna said angrily. "O lady with curling tresses, if it is your will, then let this lustful man be killed." "Do not worry, O queen. Those whom he has wronged will deal with him soon enough. I think you will go to Yamaraj's kingdom before long." Draupadi went to her own rooms and bathed herself, putting on fresh garments. She wanted to purify herself with Kichika's touch. Her mind dwelt on her insult, and she considered how to assuage herself, right? Because being a Kshatriya, they don't forgive very easily, you know. And so when it comes to these things, then she has a mood like Bhima. Like in Dharma, then it'll be like Yudhishthira, like this. So she has all these different moods of her husbands, and depending on which one is happening, then that mood is there. She thought of Bhima. He had obviously been ready to annihilate Kichika on the spot. Certainly he would fulfill a desire if she approached him. She could not face another day knowing that Kichika still lived. Because you don't know what he'll do, right? If he could do like that, act like that in front of the king. Seeing the king powerless to protect her and thinking she had no protector, Kichika would doubtlessly continue to harass her, right? Because the king did nothing. He said, "Well, I don't know what that thing is, but it doesn't mean that he can't ask." The natural thing is because he's dependent on Kichika, and Kichika was there smiling, they would immediately ask her, "What's going on?" If it had been anyone else, he would say, "What's the story here?" and this and that. Oh, this. Then she would have heard the stories and then given a judgment. But he didn't. He didn't even inquire because Kichika is defending the city. So Kichika, in his pride, he could deal like that in the court. But you know he'll continue. Draupadi decided to go to Bhima. When the palace residents were asleep, she went silently to his quarters. As she entered his room, she found him asleep, snoring like a lion. The chamber, filled with her beauty and Bhima's effulgence, seemed ablaze with splendor. The princess went up to Bhima's bed and embraced him, even as a creeper embraces a sultry. In a voice as sweet as the sound of Avina, she said, "O Bhima, rise up. Why do you sleep like one dead? How can a sinful wretch survive after insulting the wife of one who lives? Bhima sat up. "Why have you woken me, gentle princess? You appear wan and sorrowful. Surely the incident today in Virat's court is the reason. I too am burning with anger as I remember it. Tell me the cause of your pain, O Panchali, and I shall do whatever lies in my power. I will always do whatever pleases you, and I am prepared to deliver you from danger again and again." So you see, it's whenever there's something special that's out of the ordinary or something like that, she always goes to Bhima. "Quickly, let me know your desire and go back to your bed before others are up." Draupadi wept. "How can she who has Yudhishthir for a husband ever be free of grief? You know all, O Bharata, and have no need to ask. The grief I felt when Dushasana dragged me into the assembly hall still burns me day and night. What other princess could live after such an insult? How could anyone survive what I suffered at Jayadratha's hands? Who but me could endure being kicked in the presence of the Matsya King? Of what use is my life when you allow me to suffer all these pains, O hero?" Because right? The feminine nature, they will be the feminine nature. The men are looking at the strategy, how they're going to get through and everything like that. And then everything will be fine. But she will deal with, this happened, this experience is there, this experience needs to be dealt with. Bhima gently stroked his wife's face as she wept. She looked into his angry eyes and continued, "The wicked Kichika wants me to marry him. As I remember his word, my heart burst like an overripe fruit. O slayer of foes, all my sufferings are due to your eldest brother's addiction to dice. Who else but him could have sacrificed everything, including his own self, for the sake of gambling? Having lost inestimable quantities of wealth, he now supports himself by dicing. At least now, on a lighter side, at least he's winning now, right? The great king Yudhishthir, who is worshipped by throngs of Brahmins and tributary kings, now hides himself in fear, overcome by calamity. That lord of men, who is free from cruelty, full of compassion, forbearing, and truthful, has become a gambler in King Virat's court. He now depends on another's mercy for his subsistence. Surely he is experiencing the misery of hell. So you see, is here because of the affection. She's angry, but at the same time, she knows the position and she has that affection for them. So we see that there's a double, both things are going on at once. Draupadi poured out all her pent-up grief. The time in Virat had passed slowly for her. With no opportunity to speak to her husbands and to be solaced by them, she had suffered silently. Right, because the men, they can get into an occupation and just bury themselves in that. But for the women, they need, you know, someone they can talk to and relate to and everything like that. So that's part of it. So they can be very expert at doing things, but you still have to have someone to talk to. Men, of course, need someone to talk to, but at the same time as they can for some time, just forget about that, turn off all the emotions and just work. With no opportunity to speak to her husbands and be solaced by them, she had suffered silently. It was agonizing to see her five heroic husbands living as servants, and her own position as a serving maid was practically intolerable. Only her sense of duty and loyalty to Yudhishthir had sustained her. Although she criticized Yudhishthir to Bhima, she would never consider being disloyal to him for even a moment. She spoke at length of her sorrows at seeing Yudhishthir's plight, and Bhima consoled her. Taking hold of Bhima's hands, the Panchali princess continued, "O Bharata, I shall tell you of another great grief. Do not become angry, as I speak only out of the sadness in my heart. But seeing you as servant and cook causes me more distress than I can bear. When Virat joyfully made you fight with elephants and the ladies of his palace laughed, my mind sank in sorrow. Indeed, I fainted and the queen had to revive me. She said, 'It seems you harbor some attachment for this cook. Both of you came to Virat together and I often see you lamenting for him. Are you attached to the handsome Vallabha?' She still chides me in this way, which only increases my pain." Right, because she can't say yes and she can't go and be with him. Draupadi then described to Bhima the pain she felt on seeing Arjuna acting as a eunuch. The mighty Dhananjaya, the scourge of his enemies and fearful to even the celestial, now lives in a guise despised by all men, covering his body with gaudy clothes and bangles, because they'll wear very bright clothes, because they'll generally tend to be very loud, because they're men, they're being feminine, so they're going to really make a show of it. You know, so it's really, really, you know, outrageous. It'll be, it's not that it won't look nice, but it's really bright. Covering his body with gaudy clothes and bangles, that hero lives in grief, surrounded only by women. When I see the dreadful wielder of the bow, decked with ornaments and his hair tied in a braid, my heart burns with anguish, because men don't gently braid their hair. They'll wrap it tight in a knot, but they don't braid it. That's for women braid their hair. And so then that he has his hair braided and all that, she feels bad. Bhima remained silent as Draupadi spoke, revealing to him all the pain she was experiencing upon seeing each of her husbands in positions of servitude. Finally, she concluded, "I tell you all this only so that you may be aware of my suffering. You are always my protector and shelter, and I depend fully upon you. Surely in some past life I offended some great deity and am thus receiving the results. The destiny of men is difficult to understand. When I see you five brothers cast into sorrow and myself subjected to the hard miseries of a maidservant, I consider it all the work of inscrutable destiny. I do not know how much longer I can carry on. Just look at my hands." Right? Means how she can do, because there's a mood there she has to do. And so when you're dealing with that, you're dealing with a feeling of eternity. You know, because the soul is eternal, so they think in terms of eternal time. Like that, though in the material world it doesn't work like that. You know. Draupadi held out her hands and showed Bhima the calluses caused by the work she did for the queen. Hearing of her suffering and seeing her condition, Bhima covered his face and cried. After some moments, he composed himself and said in sorrow, "Fie on the strength of my arms, and fie to Arjuna's Gandiva, since I now see your two lotus hands scarred by work. O princess, I would have wrought havoc in Virat's court, but Yudhishthir restrained me. With a single kick, I would have crushed Kichika's head. When I saw him strike you, I was ready to destroy the entire Matsya race." Means he'd kill Kichika, and if anybody else went to fight, he'd kill them all. "It was only due to Dharmaraj that I held back. I too suffer in silence. O beautiful one, that we have been expelled from our kingdom, that I have not yet annihilated the Kauravas, and that we are forced to live here as servants, scorch my limbs and afflicts my heart as if it were pierced by a dart. Bhima told Draupadi to be patient and not to criticize Yudhishthir. He cited the examples of other great ladies who had followed their husbands in times of misery. Eventually, they were all brought again to happiness due to their virtuous practices, right? So that's the point, is that they simply follow what they've done during all this time, then the piety that's accrued from sticking to Dharma, going on the pilgrimages, everything, their sadhana, their good behavior, everything will work out. But it doesn't mean that because it's the material world, things are temporary. It goes up, it goes down. It's just the way it works. But it will come out proper. Bhima held Draupadi's hands. Less than a month now remains of our exile, he said. After that time, you'll again become an empress. Do not doubt. Okay, so now then what Bhima will do, then we'll see in the next discussion. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.